Now, the Spirit of God has been very careful to give nearly 2 pages in the Word of God to this account of Lazarus being raised from the dead. In this book of God, there are almost 2 complete pages that are dedicated to this event. And the account thereof. Now, is it not because that this is a picture of our spiritual resurrection and our physical resurrection? Our Lord speaks of both. Turn to John 5 for a moment. John chapter 5, beginning with verse 24. Now, the Word of God plainly declares that sinners are dead in trespasses and sins. Dead to God. You hath he quickened who were dead. And also we shall experience a physical death. So there's a twofold resurrection. There's life from spiritual death, and then there's life from physical death. And our Lord speaks of both here in John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's from spiritual death unto life. In Adam, we died. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned, God said he died. And this life is the new birth. It's regeneration. It's the life of God. Verse 25, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, right now, when the dead, this is still talking about a spiritual resurrection, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He gives life. The Son, look back up here at verse 21, as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. That's spiritual life and resurrection. Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority. Thou hast given me authority over all flesh, he said, to execute judgment also, because he's the Son of Man. Now marvel not at this. Don't be amazed at this, the fact that he gives life to those who are spiritually dead, that he quickens those who died in Adam, that he gives a new life, spiritual life, the life of God, to those who are dead in trespasses and sin. Don't marvel at that, for the hour is coming. Not now is, but the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. All that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And they shall come forward. In other words, there's a spiritual resurrection and there's a physical resurrection. Now turn to John 11. And this is this story of Lazarus and the amount of coverage given it in the Word of God is a picture of our spiritual resurrection, the Lord Jesus giving life to his people, to his elect, to the believers. And blessed are the eyes that can see what I have to say today and the ears that can hear it. All do not see and all do not hear it. But I want to begin with verse 37. Now, Lazarus was dead. Lazarus was dead and buried for 4 days. And the Lord Jesus came there to the family. And they took him out to where they laid Lazarus. And it says in verse 37, and some of them said, well, could not this man of all authority, all power, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind, and what did that fellow say in John? He said, it never has been heard since the beginning that somebody's given sight to the blind. This is the only one who can do it. Christ can give dead, dry eyes, blind eyes that haven't seen from birth. Can you imagine the condition of those eyes when a man's 38 years old and has never seen from birth and Christ spoke? And he saw, and they knew it. And they said, well, couldn't he have caused that this man should not have died? Why, certainly. When they came to the Lord and said, He whom thou lovest is sick. Now, this little family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, lived in Bethany. And our Lord was the guest in their home several times. Mary was the one that washed his feet, anointed them. He was in their home several times. And they sent word to him, said, He whom thou lovest is sick. The Lord knew he was sick. He had knowledge of all things. He knew Lazarus' condition. And he could have healed him. He didn't have to go to Bethany. You remember the centurion said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Just say the word. My servant will be healed. Christ said, well, according to your faith be it unto you. And he went home. He said, what time did he get better? He said, a certain time. He said, that's when he said it. So he let Lazarus die. He could have prevented it, but he allowed him to die. And he gives us an answer back in verse 4. They said, Lazarus is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he knew it already, but these writers write to men. He said, this sickness is not unto death. This is not the that will not terminate the life of Lazarus. This is not the end of Lazarus. This is not the end. But this sickness is for the glory of God. And this sickness is that the Son of Man might be glorified. The Son of God might be glorified. That's his twofold answer. They stood there. Lazarus was dead. Dead. Been dead 4 days. Was corrupt. And our Lord walked up. Here's the Master, the Lord of glory. And these people stood around. They asked a sensible, legitimate question. They asked a sensible, legitimate question. The Lord wept. He was standing there weeping. And they said, look how he loved him. And one of them said, well, why didn't he keep him from dying then? That's a good question, isn't it? He loved him. Well, he said, why did he let him die? Couldn't he have stopped it? He could have. But he gave a twofold reason for allowing Lazarus to die. He said, for the glory of God, and that the Son of Man, the Son of God, may be glorified. Now, I ask this question. When Adam was there in the garden, there's the whole human race in the loins of that man. God's elect, God's sheep, God's people in the loins of Adam, right? God knew his dangers. God knows all things. God is God. And God let him fall. Don't tell me any different. It has to be that way. Just like Christ let Lazarus die, God let Adam fall. God could have prevented. Could not this God prevented the fall? Now, come on. Is there anybody in here? Anybody in here? Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that has even a notion that God couldn't prevent the fall? God let Adam fall. He allowed Adam to fall. God stepped back and watched him fall, just like Jesus Christ watched Lazarus die, and he could have prevented it. Well, you got an answer? I don't. But I found one right here in verse 4. This is not the termination of God's program. This is not the termination of God's kingdom. This is not the termination of the life of God's elect. This is not the end. Christ said, this is not the last time you're going to hear from Lazarus. I'm allowing Lazarus to die for the glory of God and for the glory of the Son of Man. And Adam died for the same reason. And you can't give another answer. I don't care how intellectual or smart or trained or educated you are. There's just a twofold answer for the fall and God's purpose in the fall. And God's will to allow man to fall, and that is God planned his resurrection for the glory of God and for the glory of the Son of Man. And you know the amazing thing is, that suffices me. That's all the answer I need. If God's glory is served, that's good enough for me. If Jesus Christ, if in all of this program and if all of this creation and fall and Satan's temptations and man's demise and depravity and degrading and Christ coming and dying and suffering and burying and rising again, ascending to glory and interceding and all that God has done and is doing and will do, if that brings glory to God, eternal, ultimate glory to God and glory to Christ, who deserves all preeminence, that's enough for me. Is that all right, John? And that's the only answer can be given. They said, couldn't he have stopped it? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He stopped a lot of death, but he didn't stop that one. And he told them why. He said that God may be glorified and that the Son. All right. Well, thank God he came to the grave. I'm sure glad he didn't go off and leave Adam and all of us. He came to the grave. Look at verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, and that's why he came to us, groaning, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and despised and rejected, misunderstood and hated. He came groaning over their ignorance and unbelief. He came to the grave. What was it? It was a cave. You ever been in a cave? I mean, a cave is damp and dark and drab. It was a cave. Old Lazarus was dead in a dark cave. In a cave. But that's not all. They had a stone rolled in front of the cave. Lazarus was not only dead, but he was out of sight and well covered. Well covered. And that's the way sinners are today. I'm standing up here looking at a bunch of sinners. And a bunch of sinners are out there looking at another sinner up here. And by nature, we're not only dead, but we're twofold imprisoned. We're in the darkness and deadness and depravity of a cave. We're imprisoned like Lazarus. We've done all we can do to hide the true condition. We've dressed up. We've bought us a Bible and a few pins to wear in our lapels and got a smile on our face, and we rolled a stone in front of the door to hide our true condition from God and from each other and from ourselves. We're dead, but we've taken great pains to get it out of sight. Lazarus was dead, and they put him in a cave and rolled a stone in front of the door and went about their business. And our Lord walked up, and the first thing he said in verse 39, he said, take away that stone. Take ye away the stone. He could have done it. He created the stone. Our Lord Jesus Christ put it here to begin with. He dug the cave. He could have moved the stone, but he wouldn't do it. He said, you move it. You move it. You put it there and you move it. You move the stone now. And Martha said, bless her heart, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said, Lord, don't make us move the stone. We don't want to do that. Now, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that, Lord, because he, by this time he stinketh. He's been dead for 4 days. Lord, don't make us move the stone and face death for what it really is. Don't make us face the truth. Oh, how reluctant we are to face the truth. We'll brag on ourselves and justify ourselves and brag on one another and justify one another. The hardest thing to do is to bring the naked, dead, corrupted carcass right out into the open. Let it be viewed by all and say, this is what sin did. This is what sin does. This is what sin is. That I tell you, no. Oh, we've done everything in the world. We've rolled more stones in front of these caves than you can shake a stick at. First is the stone of ignorance. The stone of ignorance. We've denied spiritual death. Preachers deny it. There's a little spark of life in every sinner. That's what they tell me. There's a little flame that must be fanned. If we can just say the right words, if we can just use the right argument, if we can just give the right illustration, the right poem, and the right tears, that person will turn to God. He's dead. Let's face it. He's dead. Sinners are dead, dead. Graveyard dead, dead. They've been dead a long time. They're dead. They're not going to do anything but lie there. That's all. Roll the stone of ignorance away. Get it out of the way. You have to quicken who were dead. And then there's a stone of sentiment. I run into this all the time. You want to watch a man change God, you let his mama die. Or his brother. You change gods in the middle of the stream. You'll start out with a sovereign God, with salvation of the Lord, with salvation being in Christ alone, all these things. You let somebody die, doesn't believe those things, he'll change gods on you. And Martha said, that's my brother in there. That's my brother. She might not have been as alarmed if somebody else's brother had been in there, but that was her brother. Now, the other fellow spoke up. When he said, take away the stone, nobody said a word but Martha. Because that's her brother. She didn't want his true condition revealed. She said, that's my brother. Don't make me face the truth about my brother's condition. Well, he's dead too. He's dead too. Come on, let's roll the stone of ignorance away. Let's roll the stone of family ties and the stone of sentiment. Let's roll them out of the way. Roll, get them out of the way. And then there's a stone of tradition. Preacher, you just don't preach this way. This is not the way we do things in this day. We just don't. I'm getting tired of hearing people say, well, that's not the way we do it. But we've gotten so far away from the way God does it, we need to get back to the way God does it. We've got all these traditions and these customs. We've been about 40 years in error and tradition. About all of us that are 60 years old, people have been in tradition, and it's got to go. It's got to go. Move the stone of tradition. And let's see sin for what sin is. Let's see God for who God is. Let's see truth for what truth is. Quit playing this blooming religious game. Stone of tradition. Stone of respectability. Stone of morality. We've gone to great length to make human nature appear to be what it's not. We'll sprinkle water on it. We'll even immerse it in water. We'll give it a title. We'll wrap man up, dress man up, and close man in, and just will not face the fact that he's, I don't care how he spells his name, or how educated, or how wealthy, or how respectable, or how honored he is. He's dead. 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 That's right. Just face it. The stone out of the way. And then there's that awful stone of unbelief. Unbelief. Hardest of all to move. Hardest thing in the world. Oh, how hard it is. We've got this thing. We've got Lazarus out of the way. We got him in the grave, and we've got him wrapped up. We've got a stone in front of it, and the Lord Jesus Christ gets us by the hand and comes right back, right to where the trouble is, and he said, now you get that stone out of the way. Don't make us move. I said move this, but you move it. I'm not moving it. You move it. You put the ignorance there and the superstition there and the tradition there and your morality there and your works there. You've hid the true condition of men. You've hidden the fact of your wicked heart. You've hid. Roll that stone away and let that naked, depraved, dead sinner come face to face with his God. That's what's got to be done. His God. That's what I'm talking about. And they were reluctant. They were reluctant. And he said in verse 40, I told you, if you'll believe me, if you'll believe me, I told you, you'd see the glory of God. We've seen all of the tactics and programs of men, haven't we? We've seen them get their buses and their big churches and their steeples and their glass buildings and their entertainment and their bands and all their floral decorations and all the girls smiling and singing, and we've seen all this dressed up hidden wickedness and all the whoop-de-doo and the hand-waving. We've seen all that as they try to disguise death and disguise truth, and they won't deal. They won't bring the naked sinner before his God to deal with Christ. Depending on the power of God, we'll bring them down the aisle and shake the hand and say, you're saved. Hundreds are saved. Thousands are saved. Millions are saved. We're saving everybody. We're getting them down the aisle. We're hitting this thing of sin and guilt and shame and demand for death and blood and sacrifice and a holy God to be appeased and justified. We're not going to have God face the sinner and the naked sinner face God and depend on God to raise him. He's dead. We've seen man now. Who wants to join with me and get the stone away and see what God will do? See what I'm talking about? The glory of God. I want to see the glory of God. Glory of God. If we move the stone, he said, you'll see it. You move the stone. Take away the stone. And they said, don't make us do that now. We'll do about anything else you want require, but we're not going to look into the recesses of wickedness. We're not going to face what we are. We're not coming like the publican, and like the thief, and like the Canaanite woman. Helpless! See, we're somebody. Think I'll join your church. Y'all could use me. I do bring a lot of influence, you know. I'm somebody. I can help that program of yours, preacher. Yeah. Old Lazarus couldn't help their program, could he? He needed help. Well, okay. It says, I thank God for this. Somebody believed him, verse 41, and then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Took away the stone. And it wasn't a very pleasant odor. It wasn't a very pleasant sight. Sin never is. To get a good look, to know God and to know thyself. Oh, what a pleasant sight Isaiah saw when he saw the glory of God. And what an unpleasant sight when he saw himself in the light of God's glory. And he said, I'm undone. I'm cut off. But they rolled it away. And then, watch this now. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father. Father. It's not in time to call a soul winner, is it? There's a dead sinner. A helpless, hopeless, depraved sinner. Lazarus is helpless. His sisters are helpless. The friends are helpless. Everybody else is helpless. But there's one who's not helpless. And he lifted his eyes to the Father because salvation's of the Lord. You believe that? Well, a fellow said on television the other night, the devil voted for against you and God voted for you and you cast it aside and vote. Lazarus, how do you vote, son? The devil and the Lord God don't have equal votes. In fact, the devil doesn't have a vote. And it took place, the election took place before you was born, so you didn't vote. The Lord Jesus said, Father! Boy, I tell you, the place to call when death is present is the one who can give life. I tell you, the direction to look when depravity prevails is the only place where a soul can be cleansed. The place to look when all hope is gone is the place where grace and mercy is given. Father! I know you always hear me. And I'm not saying this for myself. Because you sent me. I'm your servant, your messenger, your son. But I'm saying this for the benefit of these folks here. That they might believe that you sent me. There's the key. They must believe. Father! This thing's not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. It's of God. Father, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. You believe that? I know that's so. I know that's so. But we've got to believe that he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. The Father wills it. The Son accomplishes it. The Father purposes it. Now, what's your will? Lazarus is dead. He got no will. His sisters out here, they've got a will, but no strength or power. They can't do anything. The Lord Jesus is the sent one. He is the one who accomplishes what the Father will. So this whole thing of life, salvation, redemption, resurrection has got to be directed to the throne, my friends. Father! We hear from you now. That they might believe that you sent me. And then he said, the Father willed it, the Son spoke it. The Father purposed it, the Son purchased it. The Father decreed it, and the Son declared it. Lazarus! Come forth. Now, brethren, that's salvation. And that's how salvation takes place. That's how dead people are raised. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. God saved sinners. And let me tell you something. Listen. And he that was dead came out of that grave. He came forward. He came walking out of there, bound hand and foot with grave clothes and with a napkin on his face. And my Lord said, now loose him. Loose him and let him go. What are those grave clothes? Lazarus came out wrapped up. It says here, his hands, his feet, and his face had that gauze, that wrapping. His feet were, he came forth. He did walk, but halting. He walked some. He was bound, but he could walk. And he came with his hands, but they were bound. And he did find the hole, but even though he had a napkin on his face, he could see, couldn't he? Well, that's twofold. Number one, you and I, when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been steeped in so many traditions and customs and ways of men that we need to shed. We have to, his word has to be taught. He'd say to us preachers, preach the truth to him. Loose him from this tradition. Loose him from these customs. Loose him from these elements of the world. Loose him from these things and let him go in the liberty of Christ, in the joy of the Lord. See what I'm saying? Loose him and let him go. Preach the word to him. Teach him. Well, man can know Christ, but he said there's some who regard the day unto the Lord and there's some who regard not the day unto the Lord. Well, loose him from that slavery, from that bondage. There's some who, I told you about this several weeks ago, there's some who are bound by certain duties and requirements that they're doing, you know. They're grave clothes. Let them go. Be motivated by the joy and love of Christ, the freedom of Christ. But wait a minute, that's not all. I believe this, that also that's when Lazarus came from the grave, and I come from a spiritual grave. I'm bound in foot. I can't walk in holiness as I'd like to walk. And I'll be bound all this life. Wouldn't you like to walk perfectly in the path of righteousness? Perfect. Never stray, never, not a toe from perfect holiness. But I can't. I'm bound. And I'd like to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to serve him in such a way as to glorify him so majestically and powerfully, I'd like to serve God. But now these hands have got to feed this flesh and work and do all these things. You know, I can't serve him. I'm bound by responsibilities and duties and all these things. And I can't see. I see a I can see some. I've got to see through a glass dimly. I can see you, but not too well. See what I mean? I can see him, but not as well as I'd like to. But yesterday I watched Bill Borders die. And now he walks in perfect holiness. Now his hands serve the Lord. Now he sees all things as they are. Loose him and let him go. Let him go. Let him go. Oh, yeah, someday the Lord's going to remove all these grave clothes. And I know, but I know in part, and I preach in part, but someday when that which is perfect has come, I'll know as I have been known, I'll see, not through a glass dimly, but face to face. I couldn't survive a face-to-face view of him now anyway. I got to have perfection. Well, how do people handle this? I'm going to quit. How do people handle this? This is real. Boy, I tell you, that's something, isn't it? Made the dead to live. Well, he speaks and the dead live. He speaks and the blind see. He speaks and the lame walk. He speaks and the deaf hear. How do people handle this? Verse 45. Many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. I think majority of this congregation, you've seen the things our Lord has done. You've seen his glory. You've seen his power. You've seen his grace. You've seen his sacrifice. You've seen his blood. You've seen his intercession. You've seen these things. And you believe. Believe. But not all of them. Some of them went their way. They went not his way, their way. And they went to the preachers. You know what that fellow at 13th Street preached last Sunday? They'll do it. They'll come in here, and instead of receiving the word and believing the word, they'll run to some preacher, some Pharisee, and make a report. And that's what these folks did. See what they did? Some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told the Pharisees. What have they got to do with it? All the things that Jesus, all these things he'd done. And the Pharisees said, well, he's got to go. He's got to go. Got to put him away. We're not going to believe this message and follow this message and love this message and go to God ourselves. We're going to move the message so nobody can hear. I'm going to believe. As painful as it is, we're going to move the stones. And we're going to stand back and watch him raise the dead. Raise the dead. And by God's grace, we're going to try to preach the truth and loose men and let them go. Let them go. Come to Christ. 242. Out of my bondage, my sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus, I come to thee.